The brutality of the Christian Brothers, responsible for the education of a significant proportion of the male population of the country, is legendary. And the same could be said of the often sadistically cruel nuns who ran many of Ireland's girls' schools. The infamous Magdalene Asylums, subject of Peter Mullen's film The Magdalene Sisters, continued in existence until as late as 1996. 40 years on, it is harder to get redress for floggings than for sexual fondlings, and there is no shortage of lawyers actively soliciting custom from victims who might not otherwise have raked over the distant past. There's gold in them thar long-gone fumbles in the vestry. Some of them, indeed, so long gone that the alleged offender is likely to be dead and unable to present his side of the story. The Catholic Church worldwide has paid out more than $1 billion in compensation. You might almost sympathise with them, until you remember where their money came from in the first place.
Once, in the question time after a lecture in Dublin, I was asked what I thought about the widely publicised cases of sexual abuse by Catholic priests in Ireland. I replied that horrible as sexual abuse no doubt was, the damage was arguably less than the long-term psychological damage inflicted by bringing the child up Catholic in the first place. It was an off-the-cuff remark made in the heat of the moment, and I was surprised that it earned a round of enthusiastic applause from that Irish audience, composed admittedly of Dublin intellectuals and presumably not representative of the country at large. But I was reminded of the incident later when I received a letter from an American woman in her 40s who had been brought up Roman Catholic. At the age of 7, she told me, two unpleasant things had happened to her. She was sexually abused by her parish priest in his car, and around the same time, a little school friend of hers, who had tragically died, went to hell because she was a Protestant, or so my correspondent had been led to believe by the then official doctrine of her parents' church. Her view as a mature adult was that of these two examples of Roman Catholic child abuse, the one physical and the other mental, the second was by far the worst. She wrote,
"Being fondled by the priest simply left the impression, from the mind of a 7-year-old, as yucky, while the memory of my friend going to hell was one of cold, immeasurable fear. I never lost sleep because of the priest, but I spent many a night being terrified that the people I loved would go to hell. It gave me nightmares."
Admittedly, the sexual fondling she suffered in the priest's car was relatively mild compared with, say, the pain and disgust of a sodomized altar boy. And nowadays the Catholic Church is said not to make so much of hell as it once did. But the example shows that it is at least possible for psychological abuse of children to outclass physical. It is said that Alfred Hitchcock, the great cinematic specialist in the art of frightening people, was once driving through Switzerland when he suddenly pointed out of the car window and said,
"That is the most frightening sight I have ever seen."
It was a priest in conversation with a little boy, his hand on the boy's shoulder. Hitchcock leaned out of the car window and shouted,
"Run, little boy, run for your life."
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. The adage is true as long as you don't really believe the words. But if your whole upbringing and everything you've ever been told by parents, teachers and priests has led you to believe, really believe, utterly and completely that sinners burn in hell, or some other obnoxious article of doctrine such as that a woman is the property of her husband, it is entirely plausible that words could have a more long-lasting and damaging effect than deeds. I'm persuaded that the phrase child abuse is no exaggeration when used to describe what teachers and priests are doing to children whom they encourage to believe in something like the punishment of unshriven mortal sins in an eternal hell. In the television documentary Root of All Evil, to which I've already referred, I interviewed a number of religious leaders and was criticised for picking on American extremists rather than respectable mainstreamers like archbishops. It sounds like a fair criticism, except that in early 21st century America, what seems extreme to the outside world is actually mainstream. One of my interviewees who most appalled the British television audience, for example, was Pastor Ted Haggard of Colorado Springs. But far from being extreme in Bush's America, Pastor Ted is president of the 30-million-strong National Association of Evangelicals, and he claims to be favored with a telephone consultation with President Bush every Monday.